Good morning, world. Today's daf in Masechet Kiddushin brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. Very miraculously, hundreds and hundreds of years of development, thousands of years of development, all for this moment to be able to bring to people who are not standing next to each other from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, a daf yomi. Let me tell you something, guys. In Olam Haba, you don't get crazy stuff like this. In Olam Haba, things are just normal. It's only in this brief moment in Olam Hazeh that insanity reigns. I mean, this is crazy, right? But, okay, don't take it for granted for a minute. All right. I'm not kidding. Yofesha Achas. Okay. So today's daf in the Masechet Kiddushin, brought to you amazingly from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is Daf Samachet, and we had already spoken yesterday about the Mekor of this halacha, that you actually cannot have Kiddushin in a Mokum where there's an Isser Karis. So how did we learn that out, being as we know that we have a special remez that a Nida is an Isser Karis, and nonetheless Kiddushin is Chal on a Nida, and that we learned out from Vatihi Nida Ta'alav. And so the last thing that we learned was that we learn it out from the Hekesh of Rav Yonah. Remember that that was at the end of the Parsha of the Arayas. It says that it's Mikol HaToivot HaElah. So it puts together all of the Arayas to teach you that Kiddushin is not Chal, and we learned that out from Achosisha and all of the various drushes that we had yesterday. And the reason that we compare it to Achot Isha instead of comparing it to the Nida is because, simply because of, since we have a choice of Lekula v'Lechumra, so we darshan it in terms of Chumra, because that's the rule. But we didn't have any other basis for saying that Kiddushin wasn't Chal. Now the question, the one fabulous issue that is raised by this Gemara, and it's so megala on this concept of the relationship of the Isser Karis to the Chalots of the Kiddushin and the Dinim of Mamzerus, is that the Gemara incredibly asked yesterday, how do we understand the Eishes Ish under these circumstances? Because Bishlama, all of the other Arayas, we understand that we could learn out. Remember, before we had that Hekesh, all of the other Arayas, the Gemara said, you can learn out from the Achot Isha. But Eshet Ish, you can't learn out from Achot Isha. Why? Because even Achot Isha, though it is the only erva that we have, except, of course, for Yibum and Eshetach. Remember, we discussed all this in Yivam. That's the incredible coincidence. That's amazing. Okay, but anyway, sorry, I keep getting carried away. I'm really crazy. All right, so, but in this event that we would try to learn out an Eshet Ish, so we would say the only erva that you can actually cancel by getting a get is Eshet Ish. So how can we compare Eshet Ish to any of the other Arayas? So that's why we needed to actually tell me Eshet Ish. Now, gentlemen, that raises an amazing question. This is a very important diet that is raised by so many of the Achronim, the Avnei Nezer and the Avnei Meluim. I guess anyone with stones in their name, I don't know, was aiming on this, right? And the idea is that you see from here the most amazing thing, right? That if it wouldn't be for the Hekesh, I would say that Kiddushin is Tovsin by an Eishes Ish. Isn't that crazy? I thought the reason Kiddushin wasn't Tovsin by an Eishes Ish is because she's married to somebody else. That's what we assumed all the time. And that's what we had in all of the cases that we said, you know, if one guy says after 30 days, one guy says after 20 days, and then she's married to somebody else, and therefore the condition of the other one isn't coming. There were so many cases where it was a given that the very fact that the woman is married to another person means that Lotavsi Bukadushin. So what kind of craziness is the Gemara saying? We wouldn't know that Lotavsi Bukadushin. So this is Nogea, all kinds of fabulous, subtle issues. And Rav Moshe Feinstein also raises this benogea kama inyanim in his tshuvas, this question. And the interesting thing is that the Chazon Ish, there's a lot of discussion in the yeshivish's forum, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, and so, but the Chazon Ish points out that this is not a good diuk. Because remember what the Gemara is trying to prove is that a chi of chorus on the Eishes Ish would be sufficient to make the Vlad a mamzer, right? That has nothing to do with Kedushin being Teifes. The fact that the Kedushin isn't Teifes is because there's no Kinyan possible since someone else owns this. Has nothing to do with creating mamzeres. The Isra of mamzeres is binogea, the result of a relationship which is chomur to be an Isra Koris. That's the point. So the Gemara is asking, how do we know that the chomra of Koris by Eishes Ish is similar to any of the other Arayas? And the fact that Kedushin isn't Tafis, of course Kedushin isn't Tafis. How would Kedushin be Tafis? But that's irrelevant because we're not saying anytime Kedushin isn't Tafis, the Vlad is a mamzer. We're saying in cases where Kedushin isn't Tafis because of the Chumra of the Karis. How do you know that that's true over here? Since you can cancel the Chumra of the Karis by giving a get. Okay, beautiful. I couldn't resist saying it to you. Come on, it's like it opens up your eyes to the subtleties and the differences, right? I mean, even Gavi is on boost today for a change. I mean, probably because he knew that today is a day of wonderful sforas. Okay. All right. So anyway, we got up to yesterday, about a fifth of the way down. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar is where we're up to. So now on the surface, Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar is a completely new alternative. We don't need to come on to the Rav Yonah's Hekesh. But we actually have an alternative. And what's the alternative? We learn it from a Kavu Chomer from a Yevama. Because, look, the Torah said, Lo tihiyeh eshet hameta chutza, correct? Lo tihiyeh means she cannot be mikudeshet, because remember that Havaya is always a lashon of Kiddushin. So, isn't it obvious? A Yevama is only usher with a lav, right? Lo tihiyeh. And nonetheless, Kiddushin is not chal. So chayve misas and chayve krisas, for sure, it would not be possible to give Kiddushin to. So therefore, we learn out that all chayve krisas are kal v'chomer from Yevama. Now, wait a minute, says the Gemara. If that's true, I mean, I understand a kal v'chomer you only would have to things that are more chomer. So chayve misas, chayve krisas. But you still have a mametzinu, don't you? In other words, why don't we say that mamatzinu, just like the din is by a yevama l'shuk, which is an iser lav bi'alma, and it's not an iser karas, and it's not an iser misa, and nonetheless, what did the Torah say? Ein kedushin teif simba, because it says lo tihiyeh. So therefore, in all cases like that, any chiyuv of a lav, it should be the same. Kedushin shouldn't be teifis. Let's use the din of a Yevama L'shuk as a model for a mametzinu. Why not? And yet we said only chayve krisas lo tafsi ba kedushin. And only chayve krisas we were learning. Of course, Rabbi Akiva argues, but we were learning that only chayve krisas it's possible for there to be a mamzer. Omer of Papa, that's a very nice diak. And therefore, the Torah went out of its way to show you not to compare it. Why? Where, I mean? Well, it says very clearly in the Torah that you actually do have Kedushin. Because it says, now, can you tell me what is going on over here? The Torah gives me this whole story of a situation in somebody's home. The guy's got two wives. He loves one of them. He doesn't love the other one. He hates the other one. What do I give a hang? I mean, what are we really interested in this guy's domestic problems? I mean, what? Just tell me. A person, for whatever reason, lo yochol levaker et bena et haben ala bena b'chor. I mean, what is this nonsense? I mean, is it saying that she is snu'a in some objective sense? The chiyesh snu'a lifnei ha-makom? The ahuva lifnei ha-makom? Would ahuva or snu'a have any implications to be written in the Torah that could use this word as an existential reality? She is snu'a? She is ahuva? That doesn't make any sense. Therefore, it must mean that indeed we're talking about in terms of the marriage. She is ahuva usnua. Nothing to do with the emotional context. Ahuva means ahuva benisu'eha. Sinu'a means sinu'a benisu'eha. The marriage is ipso facto a hateful marriage. That's the point. How is it a hateful marriage? Because it's an iser. And the Torah calls them married. It says, ki tihiyena la'ish. And remember, the lashon of havaya is kiddushin. So that means that a man can be married to a woman that is hateful in the marriage. So there's an iser in the marriage, and nonetheless, the halacha is that the marriage is chal. Therefore, don't try to learn from the dinim of Yevama Lashuk that there's a halacha that wherever you cannot mitzad hadin marry the woman, that the marriage wouldn't be chal. It's not true. We see from here that it is not true. Okay, now, there's some beautiful, beautiful diukim in how the pusik actually, there's a lot of different, this was Rashi's approach to the snuandi, Tosfos is slightly different, but let me point out to you that the idea is over here actually expressed, as some of the Mefarshim on Chumash explain, it's expressed in the way the Torah talks about the snu'ah, because it calls her sini'ah instead of sinu'ah. Sini'ah is actually a noun. It's not that she is hated by him. It's that she is hateful, right? The same way that you would use the word yidia, let's say, right? Sini'ah, yidia. You're talking about the fact that is known, not that you know the fact. So then when the woman is sini'ah, it means that that's what she is, not that you hate her. And therefore, it has to be referring to something that is an actuality, not that it defines an emotional issue. And you also need to recognize that there's a difference between pa'ul and pa'il. So sini'ah is the equivalent of sikhira, apikida, nitina, sini'ah. And therefore, what it's doing, it's defining her. It's not defining her emotional context. So when we call someone a sakhir, we're not saying this is a person who is hired. We're saying this is a hired hand. It's a completely different meaning. And therefore, the lashon over here of sini'ah is a given, a description of what she is. And that's the point. Now, Tosis raises another beautiful issue. I'm sorry for taking you out, but these are mamish irresistible issues because they are so nogea. Why not simply say that if the only problem is that why would the Torah refer to a person as snu'a or ahuva, which is not a question once you understood it the way I just explained it. But if the question is that it's simply a why would the emotional status be relevant, and therefore you can answer it by saying, suggests Tosfos, the woman is snu'a because she is a marshat. She's an evil person. So why wouldn't she be snu'a? And an ahuva is that she's a tzadekes. And that is not something that is the way the husband feels about her. It's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels about her, right? So then, says Tosfos, that there would be absolutely no reason to require a pasuk to tell me lo yuchal levaker, because the status of the mother of being a tzadekes or a marshat, I mean, why would that affect the status of the son? The son could be a tzadik gomer, and it's still telling me I need to know that lo yuchal levaker. That doesn't make sense. But now that we're learning that it means the nisuin is sanua because of chayvei lavin, I would have thought that this person doesn't view the child as his complete son. And that's true. It's not really my full son because it's not really a full kiddushin. That's the idea, which leads directly into the next issue, which is what's the din of a child that you have with a non-Jewish woman, that it's not your child. So over here, I would have thought that the lav means it's not fully your child. If it's not fully your child, then that would indeed mean that maybe it should not be a bechor, because remember, a bechor is in terms of kihu reishit ono, and over here the person doesn't relate to him. as being Reshit Ono. It's not really his child at all. And that's why we would be, if we would be calling it Snua in one way, Marshat would be different. I wanted to just point out beautifully how this explains the whole Avram Avinu issue. Because when he throws out Yishmael from the house together with his mother, it says he hated him, right? But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu come, he says, that's what Rashi says. He hated him, so the hell with him. But when it comes to the mitzvah, to Kach es bincha, asher ahavta, as Yitzchak, so Rashi says, Avram Avinu said, what do you mean, asher ahavti? I have two sons, right? No, the one asher ahavta. I love both my sons. What do you mean you love both your sons? We just saw in Rashi that you hate the son. So that is exactly the point. There's a tremendous difference between the ahuva usnua in terms of the relationship to the father versus ahuva usnua in terms of the relationship to the Yerusha. Why would I think that this doesn't? Okay, so there he's talking about, this is my real son. What do you mean, ahuva? This is ahuva. Mamish meduya kintosvas. Okay, anyway, sorry, guys. No, I'm not going to get carried away with it. Okay. I just wanted to be ma'orah, right? All right. So therefore, we are able to learn it out of Yavama, right? But we're not able to learn a mamitzino from Yavama, because what we learn out from Yavama is dafka, what is a kavachomer. Masha inkein, the mamitzino, that the Torah said, don't learn out the mamitzino. Okay, things are more complex than they look, but we'll leave it with this, being as this is a daf yomi, supposedly. Okay, next. So that means we now have another marker. Now, what's interesting is that, according to Rabbi Akiva, we do have a problem, because according to Rabbi Akiva holds Ein Kedushin Tovsin B'chayvei Lavin. So then, how does he explain Ki Tiyena Le'ishtei Nashim? Because according to him, if she is snu'a in her marriage objectively, so then there should be no kitiyena. So this is an amazing question on Rabbi Akiva. How is it possible to be married, tiyena, to be married to a woman that's usher? Aha! Wow. Answers the Gemara, well, remember that Rabbi Akiva is made that when it comes to an almona l'kohen gadol, and over there, he agrees, like Rabbi Simoi said. Because Rabbi Simoi Omer, it's true that Rabbi Akiva would make anybody a mamzer, but not an almona l'kohen gadol. Because when it comes to the Yisurei Kuhuna, Hare Omra Torah, Lo Yechalel. And that would mean Chalalim Oseh, but Eino Oseh Mamzerut, as we had before. So therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, what is the case referring to Achat Uva V'Achat Snua? It's talking about objectively Snua in terms and only in terms of Yisurei Kuhuna. Wait a minute. That's according to Rabbi Simoi. But remember, we did all of this before, so we can do it quickly. What about according to Rabbi Yesheva, who says, no, it's not true. We should make a demonstration against this Akiva ben Yosef character. He goes around saying, Kol she'ein lo bia b'Yisrael avlad mamzer. Wherever you have a sexual relationship that is not acceptable, the child is a mamzer by definition. So what would that mean? That even chayvei lavim from the kuhuna. So according to him, what would Rabbi Akiva be referring to when it says achat ahuva v'achat snua? How is there ahuva v'snua that's objective? Now, remember, it wasn't clear to us whether Rabbi Yesheva was making this demonstration as a general rule in which he went out to argue and said, this is outrageous. Rabbi Akiva holds that anybody that does any iser, the child is a mamzer. Okay. Then he's saying there is no case. He's beferish saying there's no case where you would have havaya, because he's saying everybody's a mamzer. So if Rabbi Yesheva was only responding and he was talking about Rabbi Simoi, and he was saying, Rabbi Simoi, you're wrong. It's not just from Lavim. It's even from Lavim of Iser Kuhuna. Okay, fine. So then we still have an explanation for Rabbi Akiva's Ki Tiyena Le'ish. What would that be? An Iser Aseh. because he was not coming along to tell me literally any case. He was just responding and saying, this is outrageous, you know, and he was talking about Isuri Lav. But if he was actually making a blanket statement that Rabbi Akiva holds that any Isur at all, including an Isur Aseh, which would be what, like Mitzri, right? A Mitzri Vadomi, where you have an Isur Aseh of don't, it's Mashba, since it says Dor Shlishi, don't take less than a Dor Shlishi. Okay, that's an Isur, and Lava Bamiklal Aseh. So then we could understand that the Pasuk is referring to Achata Uvava Achatznua, that one of them is a Mitzris, or one of them is an Adomis. Okay, that would make sense. But if you learn that Rabbi Yeshevav is saying his own blanket statement and that even an Israsei is included, darn it, you don't have one case left for Rabbi Akiva to explain away the pasuk of Ha'achatovav Ha'achatznuah. That's dead inside. Remember, we had it before, Anichal Rabbi Yeshevav. If he was only coming, Lafukimir Rabbi Samoye, because he was just coming to exclude what Rabbi Samoye said, meaning that even Isurei Kuna are included. Okay, so then we can still explain it, that it's referring to Shapir, it's referring to Zratzeh. But if he was making his own blanket statement outside of the context of Rabbi Samoye, and he was including Afilu Chayve Asei, then what is he going to do with the Pasuk? The Pasuk says, Beferish, not like Rabbi Akiva. It's saying that anybody, even an Asur Aseh, is not able to have Kedushin. Ah, but there's one case that even he would have to agree. One single case that it must be referring to. What is that? A Kohen Gadol who marries a non-virgin. So she is a Be'ula. And that case is different than any other Asur Aseh. Because that's only an Israsei. V'hu isha bibetulei al yikach. I said, well, so why would that be different? Why is that different between a Mitzris or an Adomis? It's the same thing. They're both Israsei. True. But this is an Asei she'eno shava bekol. This is an Asei that has no other application to any person in the world except a Kohen Gadol. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva, with that case, he would be made that Kedushin is chal. So wait a minute. Don't you understand that we're making ourselves problems over here? If we can figure out a solution according to Rabbi Akiva, so then how do we know that where Papa can use the Pasuk to tell me that the Torah is saying Achat Uvav Achatznuah, that means that Chayve Lavim, Kiddushin is Chal. Who says? Maybe it means Chayve Esei, Kiddushin is Chal. Maybe it means Bu'ulu L'Kohen Gadol, Kiddushin is Chal. Where do you see that you have a right not to learn out with the Mamatzinu Chayvei Lavin from Yevam Alashok? Ha-ha, great question, right? So according to Rabbanan, instead of saying that the Pasuk Achata Uvav Achatznuah is talking about Chayvei Lavin, why don't we say it's referring to Chayvei Aseh? And then we would, in fact, be able to learn out from Yevam Alashok that Kedushin is not Chal Lo Tiyeh Eshet HaMet HaChutza, even though it's only an Isur Lav, in any Isur Lav, who will make it a Mamatzinu. You can't. Why not? Because look. Look, if both of these guys' wives, shtei nashim, if both of these wives are mitzriot, so then they're snuot. If you're going to tell me that one is a mitzrit and one is a yisraelit, you can't. The Torah would never have said ki tiyena le'ish shtei nashim. And there's a problem in their marriage. That's not the problem. The problem in the marriage, it's a problem of total identity. One is the Israelis, one is a Mitzris. I mean, that we would never say shtei nashim. Shtei nashim means, look, everything else is good except the Yisra. Everything else is not good. So it can't be referring to that. I mean, you need shtei nashim mi'am echad. It's basically one sense of marriage. And if we're talking about Bu'ula the Kohen Gadol, like you're claiming that we have this one case of Bu'ula the Kohen Gadol, then why would it say Ki Tiyena Le'ish? It's not Le'ish. There's one guy in the whole world that this would apply to. So then the Pasuk would say Ki Tiyena Le'Kohen Gadol Shtei Nashim. Right? I would say Ki Tiyena Le'ish. Who happens to be the Kohen Gadol? Ah, come off it. So therefore, you can't say that that's the meaning, that it's referring to that. You know what? You're driving me nuts. When I try to bring you a writer of Papa, you tell me, no, you can't say that. When I make it a kasha on Rabbi Akiva, you say, yeah, that's how we understand it. Make up your mind. Can we learn the pasuk like that or can't we learn the pasuk like that? I don't understand. You can't have it both ways. Either it's a kasha on Rabbi Akiva or it's a kasha on Rav Papa. No, that's never a problem. And this is a klal, by the way, which is another Gaviism to be written down. Rabbi Akiva will tell you that this is a concept we have many times. Baal korche, shavke lekrodu hudochik umuke anafshe. Shavke lekrodu hudochik umuke anafshe means that in cases where you have no reasonable explanation of a pasuk because of a vast structure of context that you've built from many other things, and now you have one data point that says that you're wrong. This is exactly Einstein's response to the supposed proof when they had the wrong measurements of the deflection of starlight from the gravitation of the sun. So I said, well, you know, it doesn't fit your predictions. He said, okay, so the data is wrong. So what do you want? Obviously, it's ridiculous to bring one experiment and say, well, I mean, for God's sake, you didn't even understand that there's a concept of deflection of light. And now you're tying, well, it doesn't fit. Come on. Of course, the data is wrong. Do the experiment again. That's exactly what this means. That in a case where the overwhelming evidence is otherwise, now you've decided that, well, if the Torah says shtei nashim, I mean, you can't have one who's a mitzvah and one of the Israelis. No. And that's enough to persuade me to throw out everything that I've seen about the nature of Kiddushin and Mamzeres. No. Okay? So I say, yeah, bite the bullet. That's what this means. Shavkei lekra, leave this pasuk out of it, all right? Because it's dochuk. There's a problem. You're right. There's a problem. And you have to learn the pasuk according to what it forces you to accept, even though you don't like it. Big deal. Okay. That's the point. So we'll learn it according to Rabbi Akiva. We will learn it that it's referring to the idea of a mitzris. One is a mitzris or one is a kohen gadol. You're right. It doesn't say the kohen gadol. Okay. So what are you saying? You don't like it? So don't like it. Lump it. All right, the next thing we had in the Mishnah was, v'chol mi she'in lo alav kiddushin. So in a case where a woman cannot have kiddushin with this particular person, and then we go on to say, but if she can't have kiddushin for anyone, what is the case of anyone? V'ezuzu, this refers to a shivcha or to a nochris. So we're saying that a shivcha is someone in which it's impossible to have Kiddushin. Now, how do we know that? Shivcha k'nanit min nolan. Omer Avuna, Omer k'roshvu lachem po im ha-chamor. So since Avram is talking to Eliezer, and he's comparing, I mean, you don't tell a person, sit here with a donkey for him. I mean, it's like, just say, stay here, and stay here with the donkey. I mean, obviously, you know, people look at this drosha as being far-fetched. It's so obvious. It's, you yourself would never say such a thing. Well, you stay here with the donkey. Okay. Fine. Say, stay here. So if it's saying im ha-chamor, so he's basically making an equivalency. And therefore, what he's saying is that this is an am that is, in terms of the din, dome le-chamor. The same way you cannot make a kedushin to a chamor, you cannot make a kedushin with a knani. Okay, so that shows us that there's no din of tvisas kedushin. Agreed. Okay. But the Mishnah said that the klal is that it goes according to the mother, that the child goes according to the mother. Now, how do we know that? So, Ashkechan de lo tavsi ba kedushin. I see. Yeah, I see what you're saying. You're saying that kedushin cannot be chal because the Torah says that it's similar to trying to make a marriage with the chamor. Fine. But where do we find the mocker for the Mishnah that claims that vlada is kimota? That I don't see. And Tosfos says what this means is that we're not trying to say that the Vlad is kosher. What we're trying to say is that how do we know that the Vlad is kamota, meaning it is not called your son for anything. It's not like a mamzer. It's not like a mamzer where over there, a mamzer would pater your wife from Yibum, right? But no, this son is not like a mamzer. A mamzer would be yoresh you, right? This son is not yoresh you. That's the point. The amamzer, you would go to the funeral. This son, you don't go to the funeral if you're a kohen, and so on and so forth. Okay, so all of these cases, that's what we're asking. How do we know that it's like her, that is to say, has no connection to you? We're not trying to compare this to the previous sugya of not kamota in terms of mamzerus. So vlada kamota minolan. Oh, beautiful raya. The Torah says ha'yishav yiladeha ti'yeladeneha. So in a case where an Eved Ivri was given a shivcha by the Adon, at the end of the 6 years, what's the halacha? The Adon keeps his wife and the children? What does that mean? How could he keep the children? Obviously, the children have nothing to do with their father, the Eved Ivri. The children belong to the master because they're just avadim, the same way that the mother was an Eved, a shivcha. So that explains how we know that the Vlad is kimota. Beautiful raya, right? Now, the Mishnah also said, same thing is true if you marry a Goya. Now, how do we know that? This, of course, is an extremely important nakuda, that we go according to the mother in determining whether the child is shayach to Yisrael or whether the child is actually a Goy. So how do we know it? Look, the pasuk basically describes the issue of lo titchaten ba. So Omar Kra lo titchaten ba. Now we're going to see that this is basically being semech on a much more complex ending of the pasuk. But on the simple level, lo titchaten bam means, says Rashi, there is no Torah chitun. It's not possible to be mixed in this way. Chitun does not mean nisuin. It means much more than that. When you refer to the other families, the parents of your child who got married, what do you call them? Mechutanim. Why? Because the idea of lo titchaten is much deeper than just the fact of marriage. It is an interrelationship of chatnut, so that the individuals become my mechutan, right? It's an unbelievable thing. So if that's the case, the lo titchaten bam means that whatever it is you think you did, believe me, you achieved nothing in terms of the mixing of the families. So there's no Torah chitun. Now, that may be true, that kedushin is in teifes. How does that teach us that the child has a din of a goy if the mother is a goya? So vladak motaminalan. Amar Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Look, the Torah says, ki yasir et bincha. Now let's try to understand what that means. It's important to remember the Seder of the Psukim. Bitcha lo titein livno. Do not give your daughter to his son, meaning referring to the goy. Bito lo tikach levincha. And do not take his daughter for your son. Why? Ki yasir et bincha. Wait a minute. Why only ki yasir et bincha? Why doesn't it say ki yasir et bitcha? So it's mashma. That what we're talking about is not your child. It's not that we're worried what's going to happen to your child after all his father-in-law is going to turn him into a goy, because then the same thing would be true about your daughter. What's going to be with your daughter? Turn him into a goy? We're not referring to the child directly. We're referring to the grandchild, and that's the point. So therefore, if you have a child that is born to a goy male, and he married your daughter, you know what's going to happen to your grandchild? He's going to be a Catholic. And that's going to be your child that turns into a Catholic. So therefore, ki yasir, that means the father, that is to say the Ovik Yochavim, will take the child who will be ben bitcha, and therefore your child, miachorai, but not the other way around. Even though the Pasuk said, don't take either, why does it only relate to one? So therefore, it's only bincha. And because of that, bincha, haba mi Yisraelit, koroi bincha. So if your daughter marries him, then he will make your child, which is really your grandchild, his child into a goy. And that, what do I care if he's a goy? Because it's your child. But if it was your son who married this girl, she's not going to turn your child into a Catholic, even if he goes to a Catholic seminary. He's not your child. That's the point. So you see from here that the bincha, that comes from a daughter, a Yisraeli, that is called Bincha. And therefore, you worry about the fact that it'll be raised as a Catholic. But ain't Bincha, Abam, and Oved, at Kochav, and Koroi Bincha at all? That's her child. Okay, so she'll raise her child as a Catholic. What do you give a hang? That's not the point. It's not your kid, right? This is a direct continuation, you'll notice, of Tosfos' sense before that you would have thought that if there's an Isser in the Kiddushin, it's not considered to be your son fully, right? And therefore comes along the Torah to say, no, that Kitiyena Leish, Masha Enkein, if it's Bechlal, not Shayach the Kiddushin, then it's not your son. That's the truth. And you really don't care. That's the point. Okay, so then this is how Rashi understands the pasuk. So the question, therefore, I mean, Tosfos doesn't like this, because what the Gemara continues to say is, Omer Ravina, you see from here, Shema Amina ben Bitcha haba min ha'ovid kachov in korui bincha, and this is your grandson, he's called your son. Now, what does that add? That's exactly what we just said, said Tosfos. He's not adding anything at all. That's what Rabbi Yochanan said. So Ravina's not adding anything. So therefore, says Rabbeinu Tam, no, Rashi's approach is completely wrong. Ki Yasir et Pincha is talking about, don't marry, don't let your son marry his daughter, because he, the goy, who is now the father-in-law of your son, is going to make your son turn to Eved Kochavim. So the father-in-law will be Meisir Bincha, because he's a father-in-law, and he has also a multimillionaire, you know, who knows? So he can have a terrible impact on your son. And since the Torah doesn't talk about your grandson, apparently it only cares about your son. That's the whole point, because he is a Yisrael, and only if he would marry a Yisraelite would you have a grandson. But if your son would have married his daughter, which is what we're talking about, that wouldn't be your grandson. And therefore, the Torah would still tell you, forget about your grandson. You don't have a grandson. What about your son? Now, that's the Rabbeinu Tam is, in a sense, learning the exact opposite way, the way Rashi understood it. Okay, is another pshat Rabbeinu Tam. I don't want to belabor it because we need every moment of our time. Maybe if we finish in enough time, we'll go back to the second pshat of the Rabbeinu Tam. Says the Gemara, now this statement of Ravina, so does that mean if it's not considered to be your son, and the Oved Kochavim, that's Baal Bat Yisrael, however, is considered to be your son, right? Now, that makes things worse. Because if the child is not considered to be your son, meaning your grandson's not Jewish, so now if he wants to go to a Beis Din and become Jewish, he becomes Jewish and he's completely okay. He's like any other ger, and we view him as a total Jew. But if you're telling me, no, he is Jewish, oh, heck, he's Jewish, that's awful. Why? Because then there's no way that he can turn into a normal person. So what does that mean? That means, according to Ravina, that we're talking about a non-tfisat kedushin, but nonetheless he's considered to be Jewish. That must mean that he's a mamzer, no? So, I mean, apparently Ravina is saying, so Neima Kasova Ravina, that if your daughter is impregnated by an Ovid Kochavim or an Eved, then the child would be a mamzer. Doesn't that follow sort of automatically? No, says the Gemara. Absolutely not. Why would it follow automatically? The fact that there is no kashrus, he de kosher lo havi, you're right. He's certainly not a kosher Jew, but that doesn't mean he's a mamzer, because we said mamzerus is where you could have kedushin with someone else. Over here, there's no kedushin at all, because one of them is a goy. And therefore, the implication is it's not a mamzer. It's just like a pagam from any other iser, where, let's say, the iser of chayvei lavim and so on, we call him posel, but we don't call him a mamzer. Mamzer lo avi, posel mikre. So therefore, there is no geya. One issue that would be no geya, that would be legabe de kuna. So if this child is in fact a nekeva, so then she can't marry a kohen. If she has a daughter, if he has a daughter and he's a male, the granddaughter can't marry a kohen. Okay, that's called pagum. But why would you say mabzerut? Now, the question is, how can we learn anything out of this pasuk? The lo titchaten bam, remember, was referring specifically to the Shiva Amamim. Let's remember the whole context. Ki v'yachah Hashem Elokecha la'oretz asher ata b'shama l'rishta v'nashal goyim rabim mipanecha. Who? Hachiti, Agirgashi, Emori, Aknani, Aprizi, Achivi, Vayevusi. Spells out Shivat goyim rabim v'atzumim mimecha v'netunetanam Hashem Elokecha lefanecha. Lo tachrit lehem brit, lo techanem, and lo titchaten bam. So who's it referring to over here? Goyim? Well, you're not allowed to marry a Greek woman? No, it's referring to Shiva Amamim. So how did you come out with this brand new idea that any woman who's not Jewish, so then lo titchaten bam, and the child is not your child or your grandchild, whatever, it doesn't make sense. How would be Shiva Goyim Kosiv? How do we know other nationalities? Shar umot minolan. Omar kra. That is because the lo titchaten bam is coupled to ki yasiret bincha. Why do we have to spell out ki yasiret bincha? That comes to tell me that kol hamesirim, you can't make a kiddushin, a chitun, with any other nationality because they're going to turn your, whatever the pshat is, according to Rabbi Tam, your child, according to Rashi, your grandchild, whatever the point is, it's going to turn your descendants away from Yisrael. And that's extra. What do you have to say, ki asirat bincha? Must be to add something. What is it adding? It's adding even other nationalities. Says the Gemara, wait, hold on a second over here. That's all very nice, according to Rabbi Shimon. This, in fact, was Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, so that makes sense. That is Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is Derish Taima Dekra. Remember, according to Rabbi Shimon, this was the classic case, gentlemen, of Darshina Taima Dekra. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, the fact that the Torah says something needs to be understood in terms of a why that affects the halacha. So the Torah says, Lo tachbo beged almana, right? All right, so you're not allowed to take as a mashken, from an almana, you can't take her beget. What's the difference? I understand. Says Rabbi Shimon, I'll explain to you the difference. If she's an almana and you're going to take away her beget, so then isn't the halacha that if a person is poor, you have to return their beget? So if it's pajamas, you got to go there to give her pajamas. And if it's her dress, you have to go there in the morning to give her her dress. And then you come back at night to collect it. Now, what do you think that's going to say about her to the neighbors? Every night, this guy knocks on her door. She ain't got no husband. Every morning, he's there at her door. He's probably there all night, and so on and so forth, right? So that is, says Rabbi Shimon, obviously. That's why the Torah says, don't take something from an almana because you're going to wreck her reputation. But that's only if she's poor. If she's rich, she's got another 10,000 pairs of shoes like that Philippine man. I don't have to bring her back her pair of shoes in the morning. So therefore, why take her diamond studded shoes as a mashkin? No problem, says Rabbi Shimon. And therefore, when the Torah said, don't take a mashkin, it's not referring to a rich almana. It's only referring to a poor almana. Now, that's amazing. So as he's using the explanation that he thought up to change the halacha. Wow. Okay. So according to Rabbi Shimon, in this case, the Torah says, Lo titchaten bam. What am I, stupid? Obviously, Lo titchaten bam. I understand. The whole idea over here is we're going out to conquer them, destroy them, take over their land. And you're telling me, yeah, but you know, good, intermarry, have fun. I mean, what, are you crazy? Of course, that'll destroy everything. So why the Torah has to spell it out? For dummies? We're not that dumb. So why did it bother saying, Lo ki yasirat mincha? Oh, that's an extra pasuk. So the extra pasuk is there to teach me even people that are not Shiva Amamim, they have nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael. It's, what do you mean? My kid took a trip to Italy, fell in love with this Italian girl. That's not Nogia. Ah, Kamash Balan. It's the same as the lo titchatein bam. So that's very good according to Rabbi Shimon, because to him, you're not adding anything by saying ki yasir. But according to the Rabbanan, who say that you can't come up with a reason, then the ki yasir is needed anyway, because it's telling you a reason. So it's not adding kol ha-meisirim. So then where do we get the extra pasuk, my taima? Omar Kra, that I learned out beautifully from the din of Yefas Toyar. And you'll remember that it's the parsha of Yefas Toyar that tells us all of the dinim of marriage. Oh my gosh, ki kachi shisha, v'yatza v'haisa. Oh man, it's all in ki teitze. It's all about Yefas Toyar. What is Yefas? Aha! Look at Yefas Toyar. What does it say? After 30 days of her crying and taking her to her house, and then what does it say? The achar came to voy leo vialta, v'hayeta lecha leisha. What's v'hayeta? V'hayeta means kiddushin. So what does that mean? After you go through this whole process of her bemoaning her loss and the geirut that you're forcing her into and so on, what does that imply? That before you go through all of this, there's no v'hayeta lecha leisha. Why? Because there's no kiddushin. Bichlal, demiikara, before this, lo tafsi ba kiddushin. There's no havaya at all. Okay, that proves lo tafsi ba kiddushin. But remember, I was asking you, how do we know that the child is considered to go according to her nationality? Ah, that's from Omakra. Ki tiyena laish teinashim, and yoldu lo. So what does it say over there? Wherever we have kitihiena, then we have the yoldu lo. So if there's marriage that's possible, tihiena, then those children are considered to be your children. But if there's no kitihiena, then kalecha de lo karina by kitihiena, lo karina by the yoldu lo. Which means that if you take a goya, the child isn't yours. So wait a minute, if that's true, so then we would know a shivcha too. Why did we need to? You told me we had to learn the shivcha from this whole din of Tiela Adonea. What do we need to have that? This pasuk tells me it's the same thing. It says that what? Put all your limudim together. What did it come out with? You said we need a pasuk of Aishav Yeladea Tiela Adonea, right? You can learn that out of the same pasuk of Kitiyena Leishtei Nashim, the Yoldu Lo. And now that we know from the pasuk of Shvula Kampo Ima Chamor, so then we know that there's no Kitiyena, and that Kiddusha can't be Chal. Once you know Kiddusha can't be Chal, so then we know that they're not Vinoldu Lo. They're not your children. Must be that they're slaves, the same way that their mother is a Shivcha. So what do I need that whole pasuk? You're right, but we need that for another thing. Look at it, Tanya. And this is a much more subtle point. Suppose a master of a shivcha writes her a get shichrur, and she's pregnant. And in the get shichrur, it says, I free you, but I keep rights to your fetus. So I want to keep the child, and I want to let you free. What's the din? Says Rabbi Yosi Aglili, the din is that anyway the Vlad will be free, just like his mother. Whereas the Chachamim say, no, you can do that. The mother goes free, and the fetus belongs to you, and whatever, if it's a girl, she's a shivcha, if it's a boy, he's an eved. Why? Because it says, Ha'isha v'yiladea t'yel adonea. What? I tell you, how do I learn from Aishavi Ladet, Yela Dunea? If anything, it says the opposite. Where does it say that it's righteous to keep the Yeladea? Very confusing. My Talmud, how do we learn that out? Oh, my Rava, you misunderstand. It was Rabbi Yosi Aglili that brought that pasuk. That pasuk, you thought it was going directly from the Chachamim argue because it says Aishavi Yeladea. No! That's going back to what Rabbi Yosi said. So Rabbi Yosi said that the halacha is that the Vlad is kimota. Why is the Vlad kimota? Because Aisha v'yiladea t'yeladonea. That's the point. And therefore, it's coming to tell me that the two are interrelated. When the Isha belongs to the Adonai, then the Yeladeh belong to Adonai. But if the Isha, the Shivka, is no longer Ladonai because he wrote her out of Get Shichrur, so then the Yeladeh are not Shaykh. That's Rabbi Yossi. Wonderful, Rabbosai.